This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
It's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because you know I got plenty of that stuff. And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. All is good with the world. Lady Gaga's pets are back.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Got back this morning.
Good. That's really good. That's really good. And we both got our first shots this week.
We did.
So that's good. And we were able to find that there were some extra shots from some friends that desperately needed them and got to hook them up. So that was fabulous.
You're telling everybody we're over 65.
And so my next shot is on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
So, I'm just happy that that's... I feel like it's just one thing off the list.
I don't have to really think about it anymore. We got the Pfizer shot. I just heard the top CEO of Pfizer say in 6 months we might need another because of the variants.
We'll see what happens. Well, I just want to get my shots before I go to New York to see my brother.
Yeah.
So I want to be cleared up with that and not have to worry about anything. So we're good to go.
Yeah, my sister was just saying when she gets hers, so she's going to wait 2 weeks and then go back to work.
Okay.
Because they say it really kicks in after. Well, she's, you know, talking to people where she works.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. I know she's anxious to get back, too, so that's good.
She is.
Yeah.
She is.
So our newest listeners, we have Joan from Boston, Massachusetts. We have Luann from Maine. And we have Minette from Wesley Chapel, Florida.
Welcome, ladies. So, I knew that Joan wasn't from Largo.
No. So like we always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners. If you listen when we're live, or you can listen on YouTube or on my website or where all those different places we are.
We're fabulous on all of them.
We're fabulous on all of them. So today we have two special guests that are going to be calling in. One is James Hamilton. James Hamilton is an advocate living with progressive vascular dementia.
Is he going to explain what vascular dementia is?
Yeah. And I'm so glad that he's calling in today and we have the opportunity to chat with him.
Yes.
Also, Mary Daniel from Caregivers for Compromise, because isolation kills too, will be calling in. Mary started that whole thing last year and this is the 1 year anniversary, so she wants to tell us where we are with legislature, what's going on, what things have been accomplished so far.
Oh, good.
You know, and what we got to look for next. So I'm very excited about having them both on the show. This week we had You, Me, and Dementia, the You, Me, and Dementia Zoom.
You did very well.
With Maureen Rulison and Brian LeBlanc.
Always good to be with them.
Yeah, it was well attended, and the nice part of it is, you know, during the Zoom, there's a chat room, you can ask questions. A lot of people asked questions. And one woman that actually attended said that her mother recently got a diagnosis, and she felt really uncomfortable about it. She said, but after she joined the Zoom presentation, when it was over, she didn't feel as scared about it.
And depressed.
Yeah, because you can live with dementia and laugh.
Well, look at Tony Bennett. I can't get over that he's had it 4 years already, and he's with Lady Gaga singing. And
well, you know what? It all depends on how you handle a lot of it. I mean, there's going to be a progression in the disease, yes, we know that. But it doesn't stop your life. It doesn't have to stop your life. Like when Susan Strelley was here last week, how many miles did they bike? You know, so many people get the diagnosis and they just stop.
Yes.
They stop life. They stop going out. They stop doing things. They stop talking. And that's not good for anybody. So, hey, is James on the line yet? Okay. So I met James on Facebook, actually.
Okay.
And he has a Facebook page, Dementia Family, Friends, and Caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his little bio. He says, this is my usual introduction. James Hamilton was a professional speaker, professional college student, father of three sons, businessman, teacher in advanced sciences and mathematics, and a stand-up comedian. His current profession is an advocate living with progressive vascular dementia. You can find him on Facebook as founder of the group Dementia Family, Friends, and Caregivers, and on LinkedIn under the same name. He's a certified dementia professional, a member of dementia-friendly communities in Texas, and a master trainer in dementia. In his spare time, he has no spare time. He has no spare time. He's really busy. But I think it's so important that we talk to the person who is living with dementia.
And he's from Texas.
Yes, he's in Texas. So, is there a time difference there?
Yes. An hour?
Well, I hope he didn't mess up with that. I wonder if I can call him. If I have his number in my phone, let's see. So, so there's a lot of good stuff coming up. A lot more caregiver support groups. I was on an industry call the other day. It was kind of cool. Art and Courts presented it, and it was a lot of people that are in the industry.
Yeah.
And we did vision boards. They dropped the information. They dropped off at my house a board and magazines and glue sticks and stickers and all that stuff. And we made a vision board together, and that was just fabulous.
And what is that?
What your vision is for the year, what you want to go, what you want to do, something to remind you. So on my vision board, there's like a girl with suitcases getting ready to get on the plane. On my board, there is time with family and friends. I want to do more photography. That November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th is going to be the best caregiver conference ever. So you just put that on that to kind of keep you on track.
You know what I saw today?
What?
On TV. It was a half-hour show on Hawaii.
Yes.
That's my vision for soon. I didn't know how pineapples were. I thought they grew in trees.
Did you know? You know Dale Griffin used to grow them in his yard.
No.
Yeah.
They're like way down here. And you know how long it takes to, once you plant, 18 months. To get a pineapple.
Yeah, I remember he said it was a really long time, but I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, so they were showing Maui, and so I was learning stuff, so when I go, I'm going. I have an envelope. I have $1,000 in it.
That's good. That's good. So I think that we probably screwed up the time with James.
Oh.
So I'm going to continue to talk about some of the things that we talked about on the call the other day with Brian.
Okay.
And we'll reschedule James for another time unless he calls in between. So, Brian was very candid with us and very open on the call, and Maureen, which I thought was very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to see a couple that is really, a lot of us are living with dementia, but we're not working with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
We're not working on it. And one of the things Brian says is Maureen is like really organized all the time. So he puts something down next to his chair and then it's put away somewhere. And that's very difficult for him.
I get that.
Well, Maureen said she figured out that a lot of the things that were going on with them that was problematic was her problem, not his problem. Like, why did I have to pick that up? Why can't I just leave it there if that's where he left it and that's what makes it more comfortable for him? So it was really very interesting because lots of times I think we complain about the person that has dementia.
And it's our problem, not theirs.
It's our problem.
It's like when Tommy, your husband, if you put anything down incorrectly or out of his place, he went wacko.
Oh, but that was like before he had dementia.
Yeah, well, you don't get better when you get dementia.
No, but it was the same kind of thing. So, you know, Maureen said she learned a lot of lessons of that.
Well, good for her for sitting back and taking a look at it.
Yes, which is really important. Okay. So 1 minute, we're going to have somebody on the line here.
Oh.
I hope it's James. Can't wait to hear from James.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But, you know, that's very good. Maureen's a very smart woman.
Yeah.
And she does everything with humor.
Which is so important because, you know what, you can laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, it's so less tense and you can just get over it because you know as well as I do, we talked about it a little bit on the show last week, some of the ridiculous things that caregivers do.
Yeah.
You know, hiding in the other room, or somebody said, oh, I just wanted them to still think I was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. James, are you with us?
I am with you, yeah.
Yay! Did I screw up with the time?
Oh, no. I mean, it was a little bit confusing because it said, make sure you call in at 1215 EST.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, wait, I'm CT, not EST. So I had to do a little bit of math and subtract an hour. And then I called in and they said, well, our line has a better volume thing, so we're going to call you right back. And
okay.
I was starting to sweat there for a little bit, but made it. Hey.
Well, it's so good to talk to you today. I just, before you came on, I just gave your little bio and stuff, and we became friends on Facebook, I think probably about a year ago now.
Gosh, has it been that long? Yeah, probably.
Time really flies. Time really flies. So I want to talk a little bit about you, and we want to talk about dementias.
Terrified.
First of all, just tell us a little bit about when you got your diagnosis and when you started the Facebook page.
Okay, let's see here. It was during the fall of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was going to college online as well as a high school teacher. I lived in a wonderful apartment in San Antonio, and in my spare time, I drove for a rideshare company. But one morning at school where I was teaching, I started to write the day and the date and the assignment on the front board and had no idea what I was supposed to be writing.
Wow.
What the information was and then what my name was. And I stood there with the marker in my hand and I thought, okay, well, this is odd. What am I doing here? Thankfully, one of my students came into the classroom and said, okay, there's something even more wrong with Mr. Hamilton than there usually is, and got another teacher. So I was pretty confused. Didn't know where I was, but this teacher took me to the office, and they took me to the emergency room, and I was given some tests and sent home the diagnosis of, well, it was just, you know, temporary confusion. And the doctor even said, could have been something you ate.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Now, if you have a pretty bad diet, you know, eat lots of hot, spicy foods and jalapenos and things like this. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I need to ease up off of that for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But about a week later, the same thing happened again. And then this time it led to a month in a hospital in San Antonio, multiple physical and mental tests. And at the end of that month, two doctors came into my hospital room. And they handed me a pamphlet, and the pamphlet said on across the top, VAD. They said, this is what you've got, and the prognosis is progressive vascular dementia. There's no cure, so we've arranged for you to speak to a psychiatrist about the dying process.
Oh, my God. How old were you?
I was 57.
Oh, God.
And, I was just... shocked,
yeah.
You know, just totally shocked. Of course, the first thing you hear is, hey, we're going to have somebody talk to you about the dying process. And I thought, VAD, how could I have a venereal disease? There's no way. And what does that have to do with dementia? And so I was just, I had no idea what to do next. Even though I'd been in college and studied neuroscience and taught anatomy and physiology, I was like most people. I'd heard of the word dementia,
right?
But I had no idea what it meant,
right?
So I began to do some research, and by that I mean a lot of research.
There are good things and bad things about the internet.
Well, this was. I wanted to make sure that I went to the local libraries and textbooks, and I had access to medical libraries through the University
of California.
Oh, wow. And I talked to a lot of wonderful doctors, geriatric psychiatrists and things in the area. So I wasn't just saying, hey, Google, tell me what this is.
Yeah.
I went much, much deeper. Discovered Dementia Action Alliance, so I discovered the Alzheimer's Association course, and really started to go in depth. And I also wanted to make sure, you know, one of my first questions was, where is this most common? And then I discovered that there's a higher rate of dementia in Finland than anywhere else in the world.
Really?
So I started to connect to neuroscientists in Finland and Italy and Spain, and I became part of the UK, the United Kingdom's Dementia Association, as well as that association in Australia. So it went from a little hobby to something that was honestly encompassing about 70 hours a week, and mm-hmm. it still does.
How were you feeling at that time, emotionally, physically? I mean, were you just like on this thirst for knowledge? Were you scared?
There's a quote that I love by a gentleman by the name of Harlan Coben, and it is, Harlan sometimes Coben. The loudest cries for help are silent.
Oh.
So this was a famous writer, but this was a journey that I obviously was part of me terrified, but to make up for that, I needed to know, well, what is this? What I've been given a death sentence. What does it do to you? What is this
right.
dementia thing? And since I was actually a member of Mensa,
wow.
starting my college years, I thought, man, if I don't know, I have got to tell other people.
Yeah.
So that's how the entire Facebook thing came about. Is my goal was I'm going to grab at least 50 people.
50.
And I want to tell them. That's the goal. 50 people, and I want to tell them what this dementia thing really is. And for those who are familiar with it, I want to provide support and, you know, create awareness. And that's it. I really want to get 50 people. And as of this morning, we're 5,400 some odd in 96 countries. So I missed my goal. but that I think emphasizes how prevalent dementia really is and how important it is.
Well, it's so good that we're talking about it. You know, it's even caregiving. When I started doing caregiving, I couldn't help anybody because they weren't caregivers. They were just the good spouse or the faithful daughter. I'm like, no, you're a caregiver. but yeah, we all need an education, and it's not going away. We know it's not going away.
Absolutely not. You know, it fascinates me that dementia has been around since 2000 BC. I mean, that's when they first started to really recognize it. And, of course, you know, many years later, Lewis Alzheimer's discovered in an autopsy Alzheimer's disease. But at this point, we're developing memory foam mattresses.
Yeah.
But we can't fix Alzheimer's or dementia.
Yeah.
But we can make our mattress remember where we slept or how we slept. I don't get that.
Yeah, I really don't get that either. I mean, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how can care partners, what can they do to support the person living with dementia?
That's really important, because I think the first thing that you have to do is understand it. And that's the biggest challenge that most people face, because, you know, like myself, I didn't even know what it was. So the first thing that has to be there is the education.
Right.
You know, and that is the part where what we're doing is critical, because where dementia is headed. But the other thing is, I wrote a book about my journey with dementia about 6 months after my diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, there's an entire chapter that has one sentence. And that sentence is, don't take this journey alone, period.
Yeah.
And I think that is so critical, because, as you mentioned, family caregivers especially, I'll take care of mom, and, you know, we understand she's got memory loss issues, and, you know, we understand this is bad, but we know we can take care of her. And they have to understand, that's something trained professionals should be doing.
Right.
And unless you understand the dementia and understand the behaviors and understand caregiving techniques and all of the massive things that are on the shoulders of caregivers, don't try to do that alone. There's plenty of resources out there for people.
And you know
so
what?
That you can learn.
And maybe some people are not the person to be doing it. They're not.
Exactly.
You know, and yeah, that's okay. And that's, it's okay to say, I don't know if I can handle this. And it's okay to say, you know, people say, I don't want to be the one doing this. And I'd rather have them say that and be honest with it than to live miserably.
You know, I love to tell people, you know, if you want something done right, do it yourself. But that doesn't work out for surgeries or haircuts or caregiving. Don't do those things by yourself. Get somebody else who is trained to do that. And I think one of the challenges that we face are the stigmas that are associated with dementia.
Yeah.
When people say, oh, you know, mom's got dementia, that means the quality of her life is bad. That means she won't be able to do anything. That means she doesn't understand things. And none of that is true.
Right.
But none of that is true.
Right. It's so important that we, like you said, to get this education, because your experience can be the most horrific experience of your life, or it can be close to beautiful, depending on how you handle it. And if you need to get the support, and you need to talk to your loved one, and you need to talk to your loved one your whole life before a diagnosis, right? When you get the diagnosis, and continue. Because I just see too many people, they don't really understand what is going on, and you have two people that are living together miserably, and it's not good for anybody.
Right. And it's not one of those where the caregiver has to understand amyloid beta proteins and tau tanglements and insulin resistance and all the other things that might come with it. But they need to understand what dementia actually is. You know, it's not just a part of the aging process, because it's not. It's not a disease, because dementia is just a syndrome. It's not even a disease. It describes things that cause cognitive impairment.
Right.
You know, it's not something, oh, well, you know, you get old and you get dementia. Well, explain that to the 200,000 people in the United States living with early onset dementia, and I'm in that group. Except mine was, they were able to diagnose it as vascular dementia as opposed to early onset. So,
James, but one second, I believe we have, I believe we have Brian LeBlanc on the line.
Get out of town. That's wonderful.
Brian.
Yes.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing just wonderful.
Just wonderful. So you know James, right? You guys are kind of in the same boat?
Yes. Yes. Same boat. What he's been saying so far is things that I can definitely relate to. Very similar.
Oh, I'm just so glad that you guys are out, so outspoken as you are. We need more people to do what you do. It's so important.
Well, so many people talk about people like us, and it's not until we start talking about our own experiences that they finally have their aha moment.
Mm.
Would you say that was true, James?
Most definitely, and as I have found out, when I especially got on Facebook and created the group, I discovered the Purple Sherpa, and I discovered Jane Moore from the UK, and I discovered Brian and Gary LeBlanc, and I thought, wow, there's a lot of people out there who get this, who are either in the same boat with me or family members of somebody like that, this is a lot of folks that are behind this and trying to get the grasp on it. But the similarities, as Brian had said, the similarities are amazing on what we go through with this dementia process.
Yeah, yeah. Well, gentlemen, we have to hear from our wonderful sponsors. James, please don't go away. Mary Daniel is going to be on right after the commercials. I'd like you to stay on if you can.
I can.
Brian, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate you, buddy.
You're very, very welcome, James. It's good to hear your voice.
Same thing, Brian. I want to, one of these days, get together with you and meet you at a convention someplace.
I'll set it up.
That would be awesome.
I'll set it up.
All right,
guys. All right, right now we have to hear from our wonderful sponsors, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents, and they can help yours too.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Oh, and we are back, and we have Mary Daniel on the line.
You do. Hello.
How are you, my friend?
I am good, thank you. Busy, getting ready for a lot of stuff going on in the coming weeks, but doing very well, thank you.
I'm so glad you're with us today. So I'm not going to read your bio and everything. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, how this started, and where we are today.
All right. I placed my husband in memory care. July will be 2 years ago. He was diagnosed at the age of 59. With Alzheimer's, and we are 8 years into that journey. A year ago, I went to see him on March the 10th, like I normally do every evening, and the next day they called me and told me that I couldn't come back. Mm-hmm. So I started jumping up and down and screaming and hollering and got myself a job in July at the Memory Care Center as a dishwasher that got me in the door. So I got to see him on my first day on the job after 114 days. And that story went viral. And the best news about that viral story is it got the attention of Governor DeSantis,
right,
who appointed me to his task force for the reopening of long-term care facilities. And on September the 1st, He passed or signed the order that said that essential caregivers could go in and see their loved ones. So I have been seeing Steve every day since then. I'm happy to report I turned in my resignation that day and now come through the front door. No more dishwashing, and come through the front door to see him every evening. And what has come of that has just been an amazing journey. We have a Facebook page in Florida. In particular, we have a group called the Florida Caregivers for Compromise that we've got a couple thousand members. And nationally, we have a page that has 14,000 members. So we are a growing group of advocates, of caregivers, the Facebook page serves two purposes. One is a place where we can all come together and share our stories, our frustrations, right, our heartaches. But maybe even more importantly than that, it's a place for us to come together and organize ourselves to advocate for our loved ones. We have a page in every single state.
Every
state's different. Florida is so much, so lucky and so far ahead of everybody else. But it brings everybody in the states together so we can advocate together for change. Our voices are louder together than they are alone.
Most definitely. Most definitely. James, you still with us?
I am. I am just sitting here holding my breath in excitement because, yes, I read your story online. And I thought, this woman is the coolest person on the planet.
I only have three people on my show.
And I really, really hope somebody, because I knew you were in Florida, I hope DeSantis, you know, reaches out. And so I'm just thrilled. I am so glad that story has an incredibly happy ending. You are just so inspiring.
And
thank you. Thank you so much.
And you know how important it is, James, to see your people. To, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So, Mary, you have all these signs I see on Facebook. Tell us about the signs.
We do. We have we have 300 bright yellow signs that are going in the ground tomorrow in Jacksonville. They say very simply, isolation kills too. Our Facebook page is called Caregivers for Compromise because isolation kills too. We all know why this was done in an attempt to protect our loved ones because COVID kills. And we know that. But what our message is to everyone is that isolation kills too. And
yeah.
So we are spreading that word. We start in Jacksonville tomorrow. On Thursday, we go to Tallahassee, then Orlando, then West Palm Beach. These are 300 signs. Each of them has the isolation kills too on it, and then the name of either someone who is currently isolated in long-term care or someone who has passed away. Isolated in long-term care. And it's just about awareness. We want people to know, especially in skilled nursing facilities and rehab facilities, there are places in Florida that are highly restricting visits. Some places may allow a 15-minute visit once a week.
Yeah.
Really, really too restrictive for where we sit today. We're fortunate assisted living and memory care centers should all be allowing touching. I'm able to hug my husband,
yeah,
which was my argument to the task force.
Wow.
If I can touch him as a dishwasher, I can touch him as his wife.
Yeah.
And we were able to do that safely, by the way. We know of no known cases anywhere in the state where a family member has brought the virus into a facility. So we want to spread the word that it's been a year because we have action that still needs to be taken. We have an order that was released in October that says that we can bring our family members home without them being quarantined when we take them back. And that is not being enforced by ACA. If I brought my husband home, by the way, who's been vaccinated, I also have been vaccinated, both shots.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot bring him to our home with just the two of us without him going back to the facility and being quarantined for 14 days in his room.
So
someone
ridiculous.
With Alzheimer's, it's solitary confinement. It is 100% a punishment, and it's time for that to go away. We have an order that says it's allowed as long as they pass screening when they come back in, which obviously he would. There's no reason in the world that he can't leave the facility. He's only left once in the last year, and that was, I had to take him to get a root canal and bring him right back, and which I did, but it's time now. So we're asking the governor, we're asking Jared Moskowitz, the emergency services director, 1 year, two shots, what's next? We're ready to talk about what's next. So number one, we want the order currently in place enforced. And number two, we need dialogue right away to say what's happening now, because we believe it's safe for them to have more freedom. I'd like for my husband to leave that building and get outside and be with family and be with friends who, by the way, the majority of have already been vaccinated as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to do so. So that's what that's really what the traveling signs are about and what our advocacy is looking for in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's just so important. A caregiver called me recently and she said, okay, so I finally got to see my mom, but I couldn't touch her. She goes, I couldn't touch her. I see my mother sitting in the chair.
It's ridiculous.
My mother lost 20 pounds. She goes, I need to comb her hair. I need to hug her. I need to kiss her.
Which is what the governor has. I mean, the governor believes that. And he, I mean, that's what I said. I mean, I need to rub his back. I need to hold his hand.
Right.
I need to give him a hug. And the governor agrees. The problem is all of these facilities, because ACA is not enforcing the order, they're doing whatever they want to do.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. They don't know what they're doing. And I love my facility. I'm very pleased with the care that he's given. This is not in any way a bash on them.
Right.
But the truth is, it's so inconsistent in the rules that nobody knows what's allowed. On the Facebook page this morning, I was writing to somebody who's in an assisted living facility who says they are not allowed to go inside the building. That is 100% against the order that's in effect right now. And that part has always been enforced, by the way. So I told them, you need to get on the phone Monday morning and you need to call ACA and you need to ask them for help. That is just unacceptable. And we're being manipulated by these companies, these facilities. I'm really starting to decide they don't want us back. They don't want our eyes in there. They've been gone too long, and they don't want us in there, you know, telling them what to do and causing them trouble. And it's really, really frustrating. No, oh well is exactly right. I mean, when I went in to see my husband after 114 days and I took his shoes off, the shape of his feet, his toenails had not been cut in 114
That's
days.
That's ridiculous.
They need me in there. They need me to care for him. They need me to be, when I go in the evenings, they don't have to worry about him anymore.
Exactly.
I get him ready for bed. I get him taken care of.
Right.
I help them do a better job, but the tide has turned in this, and it's really becoming obvious that there's some power struggles going on here. That I think once we get over this hump and get back to normal, we'll have some time to really dig into what do we do next with this industry. But right now, we just need to get to our loved ones. 1 year is long enough. We've done everything they've told us to do. We've worn our PPE, all of that, and we've gotten our shots, and now it's time to let us back in.
So, James, do you see the same thing going on in Texas like this?
I do, and as I study it nationally and even globally, the real sad part about all of this is eventually it becomes a political issue. And I think that is what is hurting it, is because there should not be, we listen to the scientists. Well, what scientists do you listen to? Well, we listen to our political parties, virologists, because he's fantastic. Well, the top 10 virologists in the world aren't being listened to. They're the people that are explaining. For those who have had COVID, it's a 96% recovery rate. 96%.
Yeah.
And that this isolation that she's speaking about kills more people than COVID in care facilities. I've lived in a care facility now for almost 2 years. The one I'm currently in is in a memory care facility, and they are fabulous. They go just way over and beyond the call of duty to help us still stay connected to family, to still get visitations, and they are struggling with the COVID rates.
Yeah.
But other care facilities that I'm familiar with,
they're saying, well, no, we're going to pay attention to the science, and we're going to pay attention to the politicians who tell us we shouldn't have any connection. We shouldn't have any visits. We should and stop all of this. And that is happening all within the same area.
Yeah.
And it's frightening. We've got to get the politics out of this and get reliable, verifiable scientific evidence proving the dangers of isolation are far worse than what's happening with COVID.
Yeah. Can you please both stay on the line? We need to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back, okay?
Cool.
All right.
All right, thanks.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
You know what that means? It means time to get your paper and pen. Lynn's got good stuff to tell you.
I do. It's
yeah,
all
you
about
do.
You today.
It's all
no, it's
about
not.
Me.
There's one that's not. All right. First off, there's gratitude in journaling equals reduce caregiver stress. And that's with Linda, and it's on March 8th at 11 a.m.
And it's every second Monday of each month following.
Oh, second
and
Monday.
And if you just send the, contact me through my website, Linda Burhans, I will give you the Zoom link.
Yes. On all of these, she'll do that. And then there's also A Daughter's Journey with Love, Laughter, and Lessons Learned, and that's Wednesday, May 5th at 11 a.m. Then on March 4th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and 10 Central, Arden Courts presents What is Memory and How Does It Work? And that's with Dr. Tam Cummings.
Okay, that's all good. Go to my website, go under events. There are my support groups. There are Debbie Self Savage's support groups and some new ones that I'm entering as I come along. I would like to see every day a support group for a caregiver whenever they need it via Zoom. I think it's most important.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mary, what do our people do now to help you?
Well, stay tuned on the Facebook page. We are having events starting on March the 8th. We will have a daily event, of a daily call to action, some emails, some social media, changing your Facebook profile picture. We have a webinar, a national webinar. We have a number of groups that have come together to raise awareness that week.
Fabulous.
So if everybody will go to the Florida Caregivers for Compromise page, you'll be able to see the different events as they're happening so that you can plan ahead and do them from the comfort of your own home. If you happen to live in the cities where our signs are going, we'd love for you to come see them, take pictures of them, and post them to share with folks so that everybody just can get that awareness. When you see the volume of these signs and really see it, they just speak for themselves that it's time that this ends. We were just talking about the harm that isolation actually causes. You're seeing that in on death certificates as failure to thrive. That's the diagnosis that's being given for people who have just withered away without being contact, without having touch, without being stimulated. Activities have stopped. Coming and going of family has stopped. Even facilities being so short-staffed that there's very little interaction as there used to be with staff. My husband, for example, used to sit at the front desk, literally had a chair at the front desk, and greeted every single person that walked in the building. So he was their official. He thinks he works there.
Yeah, he lost his job.
Which has been correct, which is perfect for him. One of the reasons that I made the hard decision to place him was because of his socialization. He'd been in sales for 30 years and loved building relationships with people. And was thriving there, and all of a sudden that's gone. All the interactions are gone. So it's really something that we're trying to call attention to. COVID kills, absolutely, but isolation kills too.
So what if people want to get signs in other states? What do they do? Where are you placing them exactly?
We are placing in Jacksonville. They're going to be at Angie's Subs. We have a wonderful owner. Ed Millen at Angie's is a huge supporter, and we're going to put him out in front of his restaurant tomorrow. Governor DeSantis, his staff, has helped me get permission to put the signs on the Capitol grounds.
Wow.
Starting on, we'll put them up next Thursday morning through Sunday as well. The legislature is in session, so we want them to all see that. And I have to say, the governor has been incredibly supportive, obviously, by putting me on the task force. We are so, so fortunate, without being political in any way, to have him as our governor, because he's led the way for so many, for us and so many other states, in allowing us back in and understanding the harm that comes from isolation. And so he truly, there's no question in my mind that he, Jared Moskowitz, who was leading office at the end of April, he has worked his tail off in terms of the emergency services division. Not only is he in charge of everything COVID, he's also in charge of everything hurricane related to the state. So he has worked so hard, and he is going home. He has young children under the age of 5, and after a year of literally working 24/7, he's going home at the end of April. I believe he's from Broward County, and we've exchanged emails because I've asked him, okay, before you go, I gotta ask you, we need to take the next step,
right?
So everybody is really working with us. They understand, you know, they obviously have to weigh the risk, but with so many, like I said, myself, my husband, our entire facility, including all of our employees, have been vaccinated.
Yeah.
So we feel like that when I'm with Steve by myself, that I can take in his room, that I can take my mask off.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm asking. When can I be normal? I want him to see me smile.
Right.
I want to kiss him on the lips.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he knows me. He recognizes me. He tells me he loves me. I can't understand a whole lot of what he says anymore, mm-hmm. but he feels that love, and I want to look at him, and I want him to see me smile. I want him to feel my love in that way too before yeah. it's too late. Yeah. And so I think we've got the right team in place to make that happen. We're just behind him, nudging a little bit, saying, okay, when, right. when. So I'm extremely grateful to them, and I'm hoping we're going to get some new answers very soon.
Mary, any way I can support you, any way I can help, please keep me posted. I will be on the Facebook page doing whatever you tell me to do. Because we
thank
really need
you.
To do
thank
this.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And you
Absolutely.
Too, James.
Thank you so much.
Most definitely. And Texas, Mary, is behind you 100%. Sure, it's kind of a big state. You may have heard of it. It was
James,
to the west of you there.
We have a leader, Mary Nichols, in Texas. There's a Texas Caregivers for Compromise. She
Perfect.
Kicks butt, man. She's going to have a plane fly a banner around the Capitol on Thursday. I think it's the 12th.
Oh, my God,
March
I got goosebumps.
12th. Check out her page. She did the signs last year. She is my champion. That you guys have a huge group there that is incredibly active. So check out Texas Caregivers for Compromise.
I definitely will, because we do like to do things bigger here in Texas. So I'll see
yes,
what we
you
can do.
Do.
I'm going to get with Elon Musk personally. I'm going to see if I can get this around the moon, whatever you need.
So
I
glad
like the
to
way
have-
you think.
I'm so glad to have both of you with us today, but it's time for us to wrap it up. I will be in contact with both of you and here to help in any way I can. Thank you so much. Just give them one more time your information where they can find you, please. Each of you.
Mary.
Well, you can find the Caregivers for Compromise. It's Florida Caregivers for Compromise on our Facebook page.
Okay. And your Facebook page again, James?
Ours is a Facebook group. It is Dementia, Family, Friends, and Caregivers. But we also have another one here for fellow Texans. It is the Dementia-Friendly Corpus Christi Initiative, where we are in the process of trying to make all cities dementia-friendly classified as part of Dementia-Friendly USA.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And we were able to achieve that with Corpus in December. So we are now a nationally recognized dementia-friendly city, but I want to keep going.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for being with me today, my friends. I'll talk to you soon. Have a delicious day.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. A lot of good information we had here today, as we do every week. Take care of yourself, caregivers. When someone asks if they can help you out, let them help you out. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
And nothing, oh, nothing's gone.